You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Good morning. Let's go to our scripture reading. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning reading in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And now, Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd add your blessing to the reading of this, your holy word, because we do ask it in Christ's name for his sake. Amen.
We have a handout coming around. Okay, let's pause now and we'll start with the lesson today. Let's open with prayer. Father, we pause now to study your word, and we thank you for the privilege to get to do that. We thank you for this assembly, the freedom to come together. Thank you for the individuals who work in this church, who do little things, Lord, and they all add up to just good works. And we thank you for that. We thank you that we can study your word freely and just give glory to your Son, Christ Jesus, for the reconciliation we have in him and the salvation, the eternal life, and be able to understand our calling according to the scriptures. And we just again thank you for all these things. Pray for the lesson to follow, that it would just glorify your Son Christ, for it's in his name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Okay, this is last week we touched on, just kind of recap, some of you were not here, but last week we touched on the mechanics and the meaning of Christmas. Now you might say, what do you mean the mechanics and the meaning of Christmas? Well, what we found was in the scriptures, when we studied them, we went to Luke, and we saw that there were certain hints given in Scripture according to the actual birth date of Christ. Now, you might say, what about December 25th? Well, that was an important day too. But what we found last week was December 25th was the conception of Christ, and 280 days later, on September 29th, he was born of a virgin. And last week, I, in my great wisdom, had this circle blank, and I talked to you all through it, and it was so clear that everybody said, now after the lesson they came up to me and said, now what was that again? So I said that I would go back and kind of fill in the blanks for you. So let's kind of recap, and then we'll kind of pick up. There's so many aspects of the birth of Christ that are important. And you know, Friday was September 29th, and last Sunday I gave you an admonition, and I said, on Friday, stop, pause, say a prayer of happy birthday. Because in heaven, the angels are lighting a birthday cake and they're throwing a party. And the world is going right on by and not even thinking about Christ Jesus. And you know what happened to me on Friday? Thursday night, I'm in Houston. I have two appointments on Friday. I'm thinking, oh, tomorrow morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to say a prayer of happy birthday. I have a wake-up call at 6 a.m. We're supposed to meet at 7:45 in the lobby. I'm laying there in bed. You know that twilight where you lay there and you wake up and there's no noise, the alarm hadn't gone off yet, the curtains are closed, and you're wondering what time it is. You ever have that feeling? I had it in college once when I slept through a test. It's a bad feeling. It's a feeling that gets in your stomach and just makes you want to be nauseous. So I roll over and I look at, and it's 7:40. And I have to meet somebody in 10 minutes down in the lobby. And in my great wisdom, the night before, I didn't pack. I didn't put my laptop up. I mean, it's just chaos, right? So I'm flying up. I'm heading for the shower with my cell phone. You know, I'm going to be late. I can't get there. It wasn't until about 4 p.m. that day that I realized it was the birthday of the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Because I was in a rush from that point on. I was always trying to get caught up. I was in a meeting. I was presenting. I was talking to people, you know, being emphatic. And that whole day, I was just kind of like on edge. And then it hit me. Today's the Lord's birthday. And because I was driving to the airport, trying to get back to my plane to fly home. how typical of the world that morning, you know, I woke up late, and it's that from that point on, I was just sucked into my daily routine, and I didn't pause to say it's the birthday. And this was the picture last week that we talked about. We said, isn't it interesting that when you look at Scripture and you go through the mechanics of the birth, and you find that September 29th is really the day that He came and dwelt among us. Isn't it a picture that no one thinks of, you know, on that day? No one was thinking of Christmas. It's exactly the world today. It's a sad state. But the mechanics here of the birth, if you follow with me in the bottom circle, we'll go through this real quick. And then we'll get into another aspect of the Christmas story, which I think is a very important one. And there's so many aspects. We could go into the tradition of the wise men. Did they visit at the manger, because that's where you see it? We could go into the fact that angels played a prominent part in the birth of Christ, and we could get into the study of angels and see what their role was. We could get into lots of things, and we'll get into one aspect of it though here in a second. But the first thing here, you'll notice on the bottom of the page to the right, there's a box that's listed 1 through 7. These are the scriptures that we went over last week, and I verbally walked you through them, but we'll show you here that the first part of this puzzle was the fact that the parents of John the Baptist, Zacharias was a priest, and he was in the course of Abia, and that he served twice a year in that course. That was either, according to the Jewish calendar, which syncs up to our calendar, in December, which was the first ministration, which turned out to be about December 6th through the 12th, or the second ministration, which happened to be around June 13th through the 19th, 5 B.C. Now, when we walked through this, we went to the second course of Abia, and we said, okay, here you have Zacharias, and he was in his priestly function, and an angel appeared and was told that he would have a son. And he went home after that, made the journey. And in number 2, you see here, Luke 1, 23 and 39, he made the journey home. And we see John the Baptist was conceived. Then the third box, 6 months later, an angel visits Mary and tells her that she will have a son whose name will be Jesus. And she says, how can this be? I know not a man. She says, well, you will be overcome with the Holy Ghost, and you shall be born King of the Jews. Well, so that's number 3, 6 months later. Then Mary decides to pay a visit to Elizabeth, and John the Baptist jumps in the womb of Elizabeth. Completely blanked out. Mary visits Elizabeth. It's even written right there. Oh, help me today. I still feel like I'm back on that Friday. But Mary visits Elizabeth, and John the Baptist jumps in the womb, and she decides to stay, according to Luke 1:56. Mary decides to stay for about 3 months. And then at that time, John the Baptist is born. And then what we find is that since the conception of John the Baptist was 6 months ahead of when the Lord was conceived, because the scriptures say in Luke 1:36-38, 6 months later, the angel appeared unto Mary. That's how we know exactly that they're 6 months apart, the conception. So hence, 6 months later, Jesus is born on September 29th, the full 280 days of gestation from a baby's perspective. Now, so you can sync up the scriptures. We won't go into that today. We did that last week. But one thing I wanted, someone asked last week, well, how do we know about if it's the second course of Abia versus the first course of Abia? We went through that quickly last week. Well, let me go back through. I really kind of skipped over it. The arguments for anchoring his birth to the second course of Abia come for a couple of reasons. One, really, the pregnant Mary would not travel in the dead of winter for the census. If it was the first course of Abia, it would have been the dead of winter, and they're on the same hemisphere as we are, so they have the same seasons we do. Okay, I would hope they didn't have the same seasons Oklahoma has had this summer, but because it was just hot. Number 2, the shepherds and the flocks would not be found open fields at night in winter. So when we go into the shepherd story, we see that they were out mending their flocks at night. This is something that they wouldn't do in the dead of winter. This is something, an activity that would be done at that time of year. Third is the Roman taxation that was at that time would be during the peak harvest and not during off season. So what you see is at that time of year in September, this is when all the harvests, and you're having that time of the year where everybody is pretty flush with all their crops, as opposed to after winter, which when they would not be. And most Jewish people at this time are going up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, so hence the Roman tax would have been easy to collect at this time. So these are kind of the arguments for timing the anchoring on that particular date. So those are the mechanics of the birth of Christ. But I think what I wanted to get in for the remainder of the lesson was something a little bit different, because I looked at so many things here, and boy, there were so many things to cover. Quick thing, I noticed in the you'll also the handout from last week. Also, if you go to the website, you can download that handout. There's more proof text in that download. But there were a couple of things about traditionally that there is a Michael the Archangel. In the Catholic belief, there's a tradition of the feast day of Michael the Archangel, and that happens to be on September 29th. And what's interesting about Michael the Archangel is, he's the top dog. I mean, he is the top angel. And since angels are associated with the Jewish ministry, they say that it's interesting that tradition has put this feast of Michael the Archangel on that particular day. There's no real reason. I did on the website. I did a couple of searches, and there were a bunch of references to that feast on that day. But there was really, nobody could really come up with why there was that feast that day. So, hence, just suggesting that, yes, there was probably an appearance of Michael the Archangel on that day. And that was who probably appeared to the shepherds and said, go check out Jesus, born King of the Jews in the manger. That was one piece. The other fact of December 25th, interesting, again, this point we pointed out last week was that since December 25th is the conception, we saw it in John chapter 1, verse 14, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we talked about last week how the Word became flesh was a conception, and dwelt among us was 9 months later, or 280 days later, coming, being born. December 25th, why was that date? Why is that now celebrated as Christmas? Well, there was an effort to take some pagan holidays and sync them up with Christian holidays. And there's actually an Egyptian, or Horus, who was celebrated at that time frame. So I saw some things of that on the website as well. But from that perspective, again, the mechanics. And you can go through and you study that, and you go through the course of a BA, and you can study and get all those down. But what it really boils down to is this baby. And this baby is the fact that it is born of a virgin. The scripture reading today, and let's go back there, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 19. 2 Corinthians 5:19. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he, God the Father, had made him, God the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. But you know what, there in verse 21? See, that's the gift. That's all wrapped up in that pretty bow. You know, God took the Christmas gift and said, here's my Christmas gift. It's my Son. And all wrapped up in my Son is this reconciliation that we have with God the Father. But when you read this in verse 21, it says that we might be made the righteousness. It doesn't say that everyone is made the righteousness of God in him, that we might be. So just like a gift, you have to receive it. You have to receive the gift. And that's the emphasis here on this virgin birth. You know, there are lots of reasons why this virgin birth was a necessity. We know that Christ existed before. John 1:1 says that the Word became flesh. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. This virgin birth was necessary because He was born with a sinless nature. And the only way for God to be able to wrap up this present, the only way that He was able to buy this condition for us, was that His Son paid the price. You know, again, I work with a lot of people, and there's a lot of people out there searching. I travel a lot, I meet lots of people, and they're always asking questions, and the real question they're always dealing with is, who is God? Is there a God, and who is He? And can this Bible be true? I see so much contradiction nowadays. You know, when we go to dinner and you have three or four religions represented around the table, and you bring up the discussion of God, and it always ends up with, well, there are many ways to God. You know, we all worship in our own way. And we do it, you know, let's just do it on Sunday. Let's take it off the shelf. Let's go and worship and put it back on the shelf. That didn't fly. See, there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. And the only way for Him to come in here and to die for our sins and to be able to bring that atonement, that reconciliation, was to be born without sin so that He could be sacrificed, the perfect sacrifice. I have a couple of notes on that. For instance, let's look at that. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 8. Now, Leviticus chapter 8 is when Aaron and his sons were put in place as priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood. And there's an interesting aspect here when the priesthood was put forth. But I want to go specifically down to verse 13. Leviticus 8:13. And Moses brought Aaron's sons, and put coats upon them, and girded them with girdles, and put bonnets upon them, as the Lord commanded Moses. And he brought the bullock for the sin offering. And Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the bullock for the sin offering, and he slew it. And Moses took the blood, and put it upon the horns of the altar round about with his finger, and purified the altar, and purified the blood at the bottom of the altar, and sanctified it to make reconciliation upon it. There's a picture here, and this picture was of what was coming. This activity here by Aaron and his sons and the priest, the shedding of blood, was an atonement for the sins of the people. But we have the precious Lamb of God in Christ Jesus, who without sin was made the righteousness of God in Him. God poured out His... He was at war with man because He couldn't behold sin. And until Christ came and solved that. Go back to Leviticus 6, just back up to chapter 6. Verse 25. See, this sin offering, speaking to Aaron and his son, saying, this is the law of the sin offering. In the place where that burnt offering is killed, shall the sin offering be killed before the Lord. It is most holy. It is most holy. Now go to Romans chapter 5. See, you know, the Lord's under attack from all angles nowadays. They attack His resurrection. They attack whether He truly was who He claimed to be. They attack the virgin birth. Because, see, if you attack the virgin birth, you can't have this atonement for sin. Because He was just a man. And we're all hopeless people, if that's the case. But the fact that He was born a virgin, lived without sin, died on the cross, that we might have forgiveness. You know, there's so, you know, when you think of the presents, you know, you think, well, okay, well, Christmas time, you get all these presents. I mean, these are the ones that the true meaning of what the gift that's been offered here. Romans chapter 5, you know, the Roman 4, verse 10. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by what? The death of His Son. How is that? Well, we find in Leviticus 7:11, it says the life is in the blood. Hebrews 9:22 says, without blood, there is no remission of sins. So what offering then, what plan could God have prepared to save man from his sins, but other than sending His Son Christ, sinless in nature, who was born of a virgin, that we might be reconciled? Colossians, let's go to chapter 1. One of these scriptures that were read at my father's funeral, one of my favorites too, is Ephesians chapter 2, you know, 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. See, it's that gift of God. That gift. In that little child that was born of a virgin who fulfilled the prophecy in Isaiah. Isaiah 14, a virgin shall conceive, yet another sign that God sent the way to eternal life. But here in Colossians 1:21, and you who were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He what? He's reconciled. In the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. I sure don't see how I'm that way, because every day I get up and I look in the mirror and I go, you know, what have you done yesterday and what are you going to do today? You know, whether you know, whatever it is, you know, there's so much that just grabs your attention that's not focusing on Him. And that's what we need to do, is focus on Christ Jesus. In the body of His flesh through death to present you holy. Okay, verse 23, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard and was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and you fill it, and fill up that which behind the affliction of Christ in my flesh for His body's sakes, which is the church. Where does the time go? Well, the mechanics of the birth of Christ are in black and white. The meaning of the birth of Christ is in red. Okay? And that's in the blood. That He lived a life 33 years of age, and they went to cross for you and me that we might have eternal life and the forgiveness of our sins. Let's close with prayer. Father, we just thank You that we can pause and dwell on Christ Himself, Lord, and the Word and the testimony that's in the Word, and a tradition that celebrates Your birth on December 25th. But according to the Scriptures, it looks at September 29th, which is Your birthday. Lord, we just we praise You not for that particular date, because it could be any date, but more importantly, that the person who was born on that day, in Christ Jesus, that we have a relationship with Him, each one of us individually, that personal relationship that reconciles us to You, Lord. We thank You for that gift. We pray that we would be a testimony for the Lord, an ambassador for Him in our walk, and all that we do, that we would just reflect the light that is in Your Son. Lord, we thank You for that. It's in Christ's name we pray, and for His sake. Amen.
Wonderful, Jesus, my Lord. You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.